go through, thanks, how I think the nukes are going to go through the winter. So I'll be talking today about, did I remember to smile and say hi, thank you very much for coming, my name is Julie. I'm a little focused today. I'm not so nervous as focused today. So this all happened. I started doing this because of Phil Laflamme, who's down there, and he came to us in a couple of years ago at Hives of Humanity and offered to set a queen breeding rearing program up. And because we were doing that, you see already I'm going different from what I thought I would do. Because we were doing that, he was teaching Andrew. Andrew has been working with me as an apprentice, and he's turned into a really lovely beekeeper. So Andrew got to work with Phil for 2 years. I didn't plan that very well. I was doing a lot of the gumpy work again and looking after the livestock. But in fact, I love looking after the livestock. So I'm no queen rearer, no queen breeder. I would love to do that. And I've tried this summer and didn't do very well. And Heather bailed me out by giving me a bunch of beautiful virgins. So Phil really wanted to find out how small a unit we could bring the queens through the winter where we were. So we went to Dan, and Dan with Phil. I've got a lot of boy genes in me, but I don't do the building and stuff like that. It's a real block to me. When you have to make a piece of equipment, it's like a huge block. So it was really fortunate for me to get Phil on board, who was carpenter, and nothing was a block to those guys. So I've inherited this equipment, and I've been able to then manage the livestock in it. So we just simply took a medium box and divided it into three, and then... Hey, you want to hold this up, Carrie?
Sure do.
And then on one side, there's no entrance, but there are three entrances, and there are these little, I don't know what you call these kind of entrances, those kind of entrances. And so there's three different directions that they came out, and so this ends up being three little medium frames of bees, and we actually found that they came through the winter beautifully. And thank you, Carrie. So that can go... Yeah, this is one of the problems with it. I was just talking to Dan that he probably should have used a plastic or something for that little toggle, because what happens is the toggle gets swollen and then you can't get it open or closed. So, yeah, thanks, Carrie. So that can go down again. And while Carrie's just doing that for the insulation purposes, under everything in the winter, we've got this stuff measured to go slip in underneath them. So there's always that on the bottom, and it's always on the top. So we have these inner covers that go on the triplexes like that. For going into the winter, that's discreet. And we have that kind of top, telescoping top. Yes, you're going to see these holes are going to be great because we can feed, and I'll show you pictures of how we feed with them. And we put screens on them as well to stop the bees from going over. And then we can also feed fondant with these holes, and we can also see how they're doing.
You're using that lid on it? Though,
no, that lid just goes away. I find this, I'll show you a picture. In the end, everything gets covered with these blue insulations. So that's the triplexes, and I'll show you slides about that. This is just sort of looking at the equipment. That's the telescoping cover. This is the four-frame nuke. And maybe we'll put it on top of there, Carrie. And this is really nice. It has a removable, if you can flip the bottom with, this is a piece of hanger here. We put a screw on the bottom. Can you see that? And you can, with a hive tool, here's my hive tool. Yeah, oh, okay, so this is great. So when we want to take that off and examine the bottom board, we can just take it off. When we want to move them around, we just put that little piece of wire, and now this is nice and easy for carrying. It also has a disc on the front. It's okay to leave it off, Carrie. Thank you. It's got a disc on the front that we can rotate. So, for instance, during wasp season, which is right now, it's just one bee is coming in and out, and the wasps can't get in. We made them all different colors, and we have indoor-outdoor carpet that we use as our inner cover. And sometimes we thought, well, maybe if we have to feed, we're going to need more room, so we put this underneath. We made those, and then we could slip pollen or something like that on top if we needed it. We also made, now the, yeah, thanks, Carrie. This is the feeder. that you're going to see. And the feeder, we made sort of a wider, like a toaster in the middle, because I wanted to be able to come along and turn the feeder into an insulation board, which you will see. So when that feeder goes on, we can feed. And when it comes time for winter, if we don't want any feed in there, we just put that piece of foam into the toaster part so that that moisture, because moisture is a big deal in Tawasin Ladner, so we're near the ocean, and it's very moist, so we're always conscious of moisture problems.
So Julia,
yeah.
Just to reinforce, these are four medium frames, and they're
three medium frames. In the triplexes, I call them triplexes. I don't know what else calls them that, but it's three frames, and they all came through the winter with their queen. We had one problem that somebody got overly zealous with the wasps last year, and they, by mistake, shut the bees in. They made these little toggles too tight, and I wasn't there, and they didn't stay around to make sure that the bees were flying in and out, and they trapped the bees in for 5 days, and I came home to a lot of these triplexes with dead bees in them. But even though it was September, I tried to put in other frames and tried to save them, and ended up getting out of 24, 12 came through. So that's when I also realized how much time you have to give bees to get used to where they're living and who they're living with. But these have worked very well before when we didn't do that, and I'm really, they're in great shape before I came up here for this conference. So the triplexes are three mediums. The nukes are four deep. And for the formic treatments, they all get formic in the fall and in the spring, and we use two different size pads, the 45 mil and the 40 mil and the 25 mil. So, and we treated them. This year I only treated three times. Last year we treated four times because the colonies had been larger, and when we had them inspected, there were no mites in any of the mite rolls.
Just a little bit more about that. You put those moisten pads on the top.
Yes, and I've got pictures. They go on the top, and we decided to put them towards the back. And then I used to be quite intimidated by working with formic. But then I got the safety gear, and once I had the safety gear, it was like, okay, this is rather straightforward. So we use formic. We put all our pads just in a Tupperware. Is this too boring? Is this too basic? We put all our pads in there, and then we take this piece. It's just another container, and we squish it to get rid of the excess formic, tip it, and pour the formic back into the bottle, and then we go out to the field with our pads ready to go, nothing dripping. And then we have just these, and we can quickly put them on top of each. It's really very easy and really inexpensive. Yeah.
So when you're saying pads, you're doing like
meat pads?
Meat
pads. Yes, yeah, so the meat pads are up here. So we went to the butcher, and we got two different sizes of pad, one smaller one for our triplexes with the medium nukes, and the larger one, which is the 40 mil for the four frame nukes. And if I'm unclear, because I sometimes get unclear, being clear is not my forte, you can ask me questions after, or I can send you information if you want to follow up on that. But just to say that, I don't know why this is ringing. Is it because where I'm standing? I need to bring it closer. So you just have to have the proper safety kit. And for feeding in general, so we don't use any antibiotics. We do use NosyFit, which I talked a little bit about yesterday, and although there's not much scientific data about it, I have found just watching the bees that they respond to this and they stay healthy and we don't have Nosema problems. So we use NosyFit in the spring and we use NosyFit in the fall, as per instructions, two times, 10 days in between. And when we're feeding in the spring and when we're feeding in the fall, we put AP-Fit in the syrup. So we use 1-to-1 syrup in the spring, 2-to-1 in the fall with AP-Fit. And when I can remember, I'm so not scientific, We do have Caspian Solution, which also have used this, and nobody knows what's in Caspian except it's pheromones. It's a bit of a secret. But I also find when I use this that the bees do respond to it. So in the spring, I use this to stimulate brood development, and I also use it in the fall to make sure that the bees get a really good start to make their winter bees. Again, no scientific proof on that. I just make a one-to-one. I love spraying the bees with everything. So I make everything into a solution. I taste it. I'd sound crazy, right? But the bees seem to do very well. And then I spray it on them, and I spray it on enough that they're wet, but that they're not drowned by it, and that I know they're going to groom themselves, and they recover. And within a couple of hours, you know, anything you've given them has gone down. So, for instance, for the nosy vit right now, I've just been started just spraying them. I go in, and all I do is take a look at them, give them a spray, close them down, and I'll do that two more times. And what I find to help anybody recover who's in a crisis in the spring is I use this ambrosia fondant. And so if anybody's having a tough time to recover, I just put that on top of their frames, and that's when the risers come in very handy to feed them. So that's what we use. In the wintertime, we put this tube in at the entrance so that the bees are protected from the wasps. Find it a little more difficult to get into those tubes. Last year, the wasps never stop. And also, it's got a slight... goes down so that the rain, because we've got lots of rain and lots of driving rain, the rain does not get into the bees. And also the wind, we had unbelievable winds last year. Is this squeaking? Is it hard to handle all the squeaking? And so when we put these on, then the bees don't get chilled. And the other thing we use... Yes? The tube goes right into the entrance. Carrie, you can do it. Thank you. We put a bit of duct tape on it to make it fit. You open up the opening, full opening, yeah, and push it in. And then you'll see that when we've got the slideshow. And they worked a treat because I was worried about the bees getting chilled, having that entrance right at in the middle of the brood. So those work very nicely. When we use our feeders, we have old signage from the elections. And it's unbelievable how this worked. It's so no dead bees. So we just cut out these trough, these slits there, and we place them inside the feeder. And then you pour the syrup down on top. The feeder comes up, and the bees just crawl out, and they all line up like pigs at a trough. And it just works. No dead bees.
No voting
bees. No wedding bees? No floating bees. No voting bees, yeah. And... Yeah, yeah. And then thanks for lightening that up, Jeff. That's a good, I'm getting awfully serious about this. I got to chill out a bit. And then what we wrap, and we use this for the tops, also for the triplexes, is just this insulation that you can get at the hardware store. And we get these big rolls of it, and then we just cut it to measure. It's super easy. So that is the equipment. It's not very complicated, is it? And then we have, just because I noticed a couple years ago, you know, man, those bees love growing up rather than growing to the side. And when I took some nukes out and put them into a deep, they grew at a certain rate, but I had been given some equipment by Don Cameron, and I could super my nuke, and I supered a nuke, and I watched how quickly they expanded when I supered the nuke instead of asking the nuke to go horizontal. So then we had a bunch of supers made. So what we do now in the spring is when those nukes are booming, we super them. And I don't bring anything up or anything. I just put that on top of them, and then they just go up, and it's amazing how they grow. And now I have two nukes instead of one, and that's been wonderful. And then the other thing, because I run out of money all the time. So you can make a bottom board out of this, and as long as you're gentle with it, we put the wire on it, and so now we could make a full, when we needed more nukes with a bottom, we had a bottom by just using that, and it lasts quite well. And then this is free, of course, and there's tons of it. So I think that's it for the equipment, and you can come up and look at the equipment if you'd like to. So that's what one of our, and we're in, our yards are in the city, and our yards are also in the country. So this one was in the city, and we ended up putting this. So this was a breeder yard using the triplexes. Phil had these special stands made that you put. In that case, it's one triplex goes on a stand. They also fit on top of just old supers that I found out this year because I couldn't afford to get more stands, and I tried putting them on an old super, and surely enough, they fit beautifully as well. So then I just bunch, now I can put them on old supers and I don't have to buy more stands. But these stands are very handy and they are stable. I thought they would wobble, and in the wind out in the country, I thought they would blow over, but they didn't. So they were in fact great, and it's really nice height for working because, and Phil does everything. Phil did not ever want to bend. So everything is up and everything's in it sort of always in threes, so they simply turns around and we're just standing the whole time. So, yeah, so he doesn't like to bend. Yeah. Makes him less cranky. Phil hates it when none of our equipment matched, which is why we got all the new equipment, and I thought he was so neurotic, and I find myself saying the same thing now. So I find myself using old equipment, and then the wasps get into the old equipment, and the new equipment stays the same. So already Phil wasn't with us this year, and it always starts to look a little messier because I'm just like a train wreck. But these work just fine. This is in a lovely little field out behind a church. An unbelievable forage right there. So it's a great little yard. And in most of these yards out in places, I leave them looking a little messy so they don't look like they could be stolen. And I make it that if you want to come by, it would be a bit of work to pick it up because we do have things disappear. So that's what the triplex looks like. And you can see the opening here, right there. And there's three, and they're going off in different directions. And then during the summertime, when we want to keep track of what's going on, that's just plastic, and it's two pieces of plastic. One fits over one of these, and the other one gets stapled and does the two, and the bees don't travel, and it's very easy to look over. And then I'm very, very bad at records. This is my idea of records. And so it's like when I go, I can remember what happened the last time, and if there's something big going on, I'll put a bigger piece or another piece of tape, and the tape does last. And these particular ones, I realized I should take pictures for this presentation. So these happen to have formic pads on them, I'm just realizing right now, and we put them all at the back. And then that's just a picture of, on the triplex, the formic. So then after the formic, which was a couple of weeks ago, we did formic in August. In September, start to think about feeding them.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
People are worried about queen failure.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that?
No, it's like every time I do something with bees, I wonder if I'm going to kill them. So me too. I was thinking, okay, I hope I'm getting the dosage right. So I just made sure that none of those pads were dripping. And I placed them there, and I think I might have overdone it a bit with these colonies because they weren't that old, but they all got three treatments. And then what I did just before I came out here, I had moved those bees, and so I took out, I had two bad queens that I pinched, and I took out every frame to assess those, and two looked like they'd had formic death, but all the queens were fine, and all the queens, in fact, they're booming. Right now they're booming. Depending on the weather, so if it's nice warm weather, like 4 or 5 days, 6 days. So it took 3 weeks to get through the treatment. So that's why I like to do it in the, and then they don't get oxalic or anything through the winter. This is it for them, spring and the fall. So then we get those covers on. And then I just feed it, I moved those to the winter yard just before I came up here. And there'll be two side by side on pallets, two pallets high on the ground. And again, I'll put the right now they don't have the insulation, but they've had five feeds right now. I decided to give them one more feed just before I came up here. And I, you know, it's funny, they just drink faster and faster, hey? The later it is in the season when you're feeding them. So I put that in 2 days before I came, just went to do a little check because I'm slightly neurotic and they were all empty. So I decided to feed them again because I thought they had room and I figured they'd pretty much done their laying for the winter. So the first time we did this, Phil wanted to put them on top of top of those colonies. I hated that because I can't deal with it now. So I like everything to be where I can deal with it. So that's why this year they're down on the pallets with the insulator underneath them. But that worked fine for him. It just meant that when we went to do oxalic or anything in the winter or check them in the spring, we had to deal with the top, so not so good. He also wanted to figure out if there was any difference if we painted or not, and we didn't find any difference. So we just found that this insulation worked fine, and we've had very good success coming over. So then that's just showing the bottoms of the jars in there, and that was the first year he was playing around with stuff. In the spring, if they're hungry, well, if we're worried about them and it's still too cold, we go in and we'll give them some fondant. And he put the screens there over the holes so the bees could come just eat the fondant. And when I did it, because I'm lazier and I often forget to do the fine detail, I just threw fondant in a jar. And so the bees just came in the jar and they ate it with no screen. So there's the tidy way and there's the untidy way. But the bees got the food. And it's great to, you know, all these things are indicators as to how strong they are and how they're doing. And then we always keep everything insulated so that the moisture and that they don't get chilled. And then there's just another picture that was two of them together on stands before they got put on top of the other colonies.
Is that the foil stuff painted?
Yeah. He painted it because he was curious to see if it would make a difference if it was black or if it was shiny, reflective, and it didn't seem to make any difference at all. So now if we go to what we did with the four-frame nukes. So the four-frame nukes were out in a yard for the summer, and they were our mating yard. This is a yard where this year I only used half the yard because we think we had a lot of drift of chemicals and things. But anyway, we had very, very strong colonies, and so they were really bunching out, so we decided to open up the equipment because we were confident that they weren't going to swarm because they were really just new queens. It was rather late in the season, but that was a nice thing about this equipment, that it's pretty versatile, that you can unhook that little hanger thing, and you can draw out that and give the bees more air and circulation, and that held on to everybody during the hot part of the summer. I think in that particular day, it was September, this was 2 years ago, and we were still doing the formic, and we were pretty nervous that we were putting the formic into really strong colonies, so we decided to do that just to give them a bit more air. And then that's just us, so the formic just goes in underneath the feeder that's empty at that stage, but it's just allowing for more airflow. These nukes have the entrance at the front, and they also have a vent at the back. So, and the triplexes too, they have a vent at the back. So that's just after the formic. And then we just take, just kind of shows you, this is out of sequence because that must be a spring feeding, but it just shows you how we put the floats in. And then we just have this battery jug thing so we don't leak. That's really good with our bigger colonies. But anyway, we often just use a bucket now to pour because it doesn't spill. And the float comes up. So this is last week when we went out to the field because we were wondering how strong they are before we put them into the winter. So at this stage, they've been fed, this picture, that colony's been fed four gallons. And that was us picking up the feeder to see how are they doing. Oh, wow, they look fantastic from the top. Oh, now why is that? I'm out of order, shit, I'm so sorry. Just forget that picture, okay? Just put your mind back to the year before when we had moved our nukes for the first time. This was the first time we tried it. We put them on the pallets in the country, and so now different colors side by each getting the heat. That was what it looked like in the backyard in Burnaby, all side by each getting the heat. And then because we had done the feeding, we just put newspaper there if there was any moisture. And we had the sponges there, but we weren't sure if enough moisture would come up, so we left a little bit of a hole, and the bees didn't crawl up, but the moisture, we never had any moisture issues. We never had to change that paper. So once we had them in place, we had the tubing ready to go in on the ground in front of them, And they're sitting there with their feeders on top with the indoor-outdoor carpet. And then we wrapped around the foil, the insulation, and then we made holes in the insulation to line up with the entrances, and then we shoved the piping in there and taped it at the back. And then we put a piece of insulation on top of everything, one piece. And then we also put the piece of wood there because we have lots of rain, and we had a tarp that was then going to go over everything. So the tarp, which is on the floor, with bicycle tubes because they're free, goes on top, and then we just tie the tubes, and that kind of holds everything together. And we put bricks on them, especially in the country. And that's them in the country, the same configuration. And this worked a treat. This was like 100% successful, and it was a heat trap in there, wonderful. I had another yard last year where there was a real wind tunnel, and when we had that huge storm, I had forgotten to put the bricks on top. And I was in Florida, and I came back from Florida, and it was like, oh my God. So what had happened is the tarps had blown off, the piece of wood had blown off, the blue insulation had blown off, and half of the carpets had blown off, and the feeders were filled with water. So, deep breath, stay calm. And what I did was, it was like 9 o'clock at night, it was the first thing I did when I came back. I quickly just took off the feeders and dumped all the water, put them back on, said, holy shit, what am I going to do? Are they all dead? What am I going to do? What am I going to do? So I went home for the night. And then the next morning I came back, calmer, and I undid the bottom, and I lifted them up to imagine flooding, and there was no flooding, and I took a good little tilt, and the bees had all come forward to the front and made a cluster at the front, and nobody was anywhere near where the rain could have been coming in. So again, I look at Phil half the time thinking, how neurotic are you that we have to have 4 safety features? And this is just awesome, because that's what saved those bees, having so many things could go wrong and they were still okay. And so those bees all came through that winter, and they were, and I'll have pictures of what they looked like at the end of that winter. So it was wonderful. When we were doing this, Phil was definitely in charge, and I was thinking, we're going to suffocate the bees. This is like way too hot, Phil. We're just worried about the heat, the moisture down here. And he was totally right. And now reading Tom Seeley about how cozy these bees like to be, it's like this was the right way to go. So that's what it looked like when it snowed. And in the spring, in January, when I started to worry, and it, you know, you go and you try to feel the weight of them, we made sugar cakes and just dropped the sugar cakes down. So again, I'd put my hand over, feel the heat, thank God there's the heat coming up, and then slip down some sugar cakes. And then later, when it got to be February, cut pollen in little pieces and drop the pollen. So the indicator as to health there was the heat coming up and how much food would go down, and they would just munch on that food. And then that's what they looked like that year coming out last year. And this was with Heather Hego who came out. I'm sorry about that angle. I don't know how to change that angle. But holy moly, honey. So they had been fed. That's what they looked like. And they were solid. That's what the brood pattern looked like. And that was in March, hey, Heather? That was March. The both of us were pretty happy with that. And there was another one. So Heather, we were going through the yard choosing the ones she was going to take away with her. And so Heather, then we were just talking about that this morning. From that nuke, you bought that nuke in March and took, and you made another. She supered it as well. Yeah. They did. So they were really, really good queens. Phil had made wonderful queens. And then these were very strong nukes coming through. So then just like, as I said, they were doing very, very well. So after that inspection, when we saw those beautiful colonies, we went in and we supered them, and then we wrapped them up again and just carried on. And they carried on, and that's when, then by the end of spring, when we took off the covers, that was a bit crazy for a while, but they all settled in and figured out where to live. And then this is just a shot to show you that I often just keep a tarp in the end just to keep the wetness off and keep them cozy from the top. So I just look at the weather all the time. So now this is this week. That is propolized. Can you see it? I thought, oh, how interesting is that? This is the only colony in the yard that did that. And I thought, is that going to mean it's a really strong colony or a really weak colony? And they were really sick. But they had propolized the entrance, and I'm going to try. I can't stand to throw them out because I think they're so brave to have done that. I want to see if I can get them going. So I fed them up and gave them some nosy fit and AP fit. So now what we were wondering again, how heavy do they need to be? Because I thought maybe somebody would ask me that question. I think it's about 30 pounds. I can pick it up, but it's a weight. I'd prefer to have Andrew do it for me. And I'm not weak, but it's, so that's what we're doing there. How heavy are they, Andrew? That's how heavy they are. I wonder if there's a bunch of junk on the bottom. No, that's a beautiful colony, and they've managed to keep it clean. There were not huge mite drops after our treatment. And so then we put them back together again, and then he'll just lever up that feeder, and I'll spray them with my little spray feeder. Have no idea what the quantity. I'll just spray them till I think they're covered and let them. And so that's what they look like going into winter now. This is again, you can see it's on the stand before we bring them to the winter quarters. And that's what they were looking like last week. And so we just moved them over, and now they've got the entrances closed. So those colonies have been there since the end of July, so they've been growing and stabilizing. We really have to keep attention to the dry on the inside, so you can check the paper on the feeder without disturbing your colony through the year, through the winter. And I think it's heavy enough for me that it's a weight, but I can carry it, and I can definitely tell the light ones, like, whoa, that's way light. And again, those entrances have been great. So right now, I'll come back and report back how they did this winter, but right now they're all heavy. They all have 2 to 3 frames of brood and food, and then one honey. And good populations, the frames are covered, they're guarding well, the wasps are not able to get in, the yard feels very calm when I go into it, and yet there are wasps totally in the area. Anybody who had chalk brood is gone, so I'm feeling very optimistic as I speak from here. No more feed, they're good and heavy, that's fine. All I'm going to do is drench them one more time with nosy fit. And then wrap them. And so, yeah, that's just to show that they go through, we do mite treatments, and we do the supplements. I've talked about all of that. I don't think we need to look at that. And the same thing here. The triplexes, they're just gorgeous now. I looked at them, and they've got the one on the outside has a honey, 2 brood. And then it's like brood, honey. So the little triplexes are exactly like the bigger bees, just on a smaller scale. And they all have very nice populations. And new brood is still in there. And none of the brood is looking stressed. And I did the same thing. As I said, just want to make sure they're clean going into winter, so they don't have too much cleaning up to do and no dead bees stinking up the colony. And a couple of the nukes were light, so I just, the ones that I pinched the queens, they had no disease, so I took the honey and I put the honey frame in with the lighter colony and equalized them that way and fed them. That's the end. So that's the, thanks. Anyway, so none of this was my idea. It was Phil's. But I really love this system, and I love looking after the animals here, and they are very content and cozy all through the winter. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know. So the year, yeah. So they were sort of maybe 2 frames of bees. And then I grew them up through July and August. So maybe one frame. No, so sort of the end. I wasn't really taking notes. Geez, I just don't take those notes. But I knew I needed to give them at least a month and a bit to build up to where I wanted them to be. Yeah, I started off with 2 brood and honey. It was a mixture. And the year before, we had been using them as a mating yard. Well, and we were seriously making way more queens that time. So again, Phil wanted to stop all that by the 1st of August, so that queen could go. Oh, and the other nice thing about that is, and then you really have confidence in that queen in the spring when you can look at her pattern and how she's come through. And Yeah. Yeah, and then last year also, so I started off with that one nuke. I supered them. I sold one nuke with the queen that it came from. I got other queens, and I sold that nuke, and I was still able to come through with one more nuke to start up with. So I got two rounds, and I could have done more if I'd been more organized about it and more focused on doing that. I got unfocused. So I'm hoping to focus more on this. I have no idea what the time is. Hi, sure. Should I get a question? Yeah, no, I have no pests. The only pests we have are people, and the people have stayed away pretty much. The pest wind is a serious consideration, and losing that, and wasps. And we did not lose. This year I lost two nukes to wasps, and that's because I was using old equipment, leaky equipment, and the wasps, there were just too many spots that the wasps could get in. But these things, like, it's like a fortress. Yeah. 15 minutes left. Well, so my brain is empty. You have to ask questions.
There's no bears around.
No bears. No. Yes.
I'm not sure if I missed something there, but when you said you pitched, a couple of you pitched queens at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And then they just went through the winter with
no bees. No. Then I would shake those bees out. As long as there's no disease, I would shake those bees out, and they'll find a home. And then I stole their nice honey frames to give to somebody who's in more trouble. So that's. Yeah. But I didn't have to do a lot of equalizing, really. It's just out of the 24 triplexes, three are in trouble because here I have an empty box. So I can't lie about that, can I? I have an empty box because I had three triplexes go down on me, and all the other ones are nice and full and equalized without me equalizing them, except for two. Yeah, no. So Caspian solution, you know, that's like the big mystery stuff, right? It's anybody, Heather, you want to say something? It's what's his name now? It's supposed to be ground up larvae that's going to stimulate, the story is that it stimulates brood production. And I guess it must smell right. So I know that Hussein uses it, and I've used it, and I don't know, maybe it's doing nothing, but it doesn't cost me that much to put it in, and it hasn't killed any of them. Oh, I also overdosed on NosyFit for many years. Those guys gave it to us for free because of they like to support our work, and he finally called me up and said, Julia, you know, you're going through, are you running thousands of bees? I said, no, just 250. He said, oh, you're overdosing. This is terrific. Any of your bees dead? And I said, no, none of them are dead. They're looking really great. He said, this is great information for us. You can't overdose it. So I'll tell you, you cannot kill your bees by using it, and they look awesome. And they look really plumptious. You see, like Vitagelin, you know, I can hardly say the word. I just look at like these fat, succulent, plumptious looking Rubenesque bees. And they're living on that as their diet. Yes?
So you don't get -20 degrees in the winter
time? Nope, we don't. So you could probably, they get a lot of heat by being placed side by side, there's always brood on that wall that's beside the other one, and you could just increase, I mean, that's not a lot of insulation that they're getting around, but you could totally increase that, and I'm sure this would work. I mean, well, sure, I think it would work, because they take so much heat from each other.
So you get better success in the center one than the outside?
No, I mean, they all do really well, Carrie. That, I mean, the ones we got for you, Heather, they were right on the edge. Yeah. Mike?
Talk a couple of years ago about this, where she was overwintering side by side. The two keys were a 2-inch insulation foam underneath and 2-inch across the top. There was the issue of preventing condensation from moisture dripping on the bees. So
yeah, and we've had no moisture. That's the weird thing, even in the yard in Burnaby, which is really damp. Sorry, Heather, what were you going to say? Yeah. We created the triplexes. It was just take a medium box and divide it in three, and now we could put three frames. We put nine frames in it, so it's simply a medium box. And Phil was curious to see could we have good success with a smaller unit. So we went down to that smaller unit, and the first year we didn't lose any the first year. The second year we had the wasp issue, and so I only got halfway through. And this year I've paid really close attention to make sure they're really strong going into the winter.
How many years of this experience?
So three years.
So the third winter going in?
Third winter. I know, I don't strike a lot of confidence, do I? But in the springtime, I can't remember. So what I do in the spring is as soon as I see them bringing in pollen, I put pollen. And I put a third of a patty at a time on these because I was putting it in a third of global. A third of a pound of pollen, and then when the weather gets better and they're more booming and I want them to eat more, I put that on and now I'll give them a pound, and then I'll keep feeding them as long as they're eating it. So they probably got 2 pounds. I kind of stopped because it starts to be ridiculous. But I was trying to get them to be built up so that I could give them their formic treatment, so I could get them inspected. I was trying at the beginning to make them early nukes so that I could get ahead of the market and sell early nukes with queens who'd come through the winter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And another question on your candy that you were sliding in.
Yeah.
Is that just straight sugar or do you mix anything?
I use the sugar cakes, so that when I make the sugar cakes, again, I always put a little cocktail of this in. Yeah, I got a dehydrator, so I made sugar cakes like everybody makes those sugar cakes. And then I did not use fondant with them. I tend to use, this is Ambrosia, the fondant. There's a fellow here who's selling it. There's also the AP pasta that you got in your. And that's what I use when I've got a sick colony and that I want to try to save. I just put that right on the top bar and they can just eat it. Everybody loves this stuff and they would eat that. But I find sugar cakes are fine too, and I don't want to overstimulate them if the weather's iffy in the spring. Any other? Yeah? To make the trip? Yeah. Yeah, except that I wanted to sell. I got nervous about losing my money, and I wanted to get some income, so I wanted to have that first one go off. But yeah, I bet you it would go up a third. I mean, it's amazing the difference I find sideways to vertical.
So what unit do you sell?
I sold, well.
Three frames?
Four frame nukes.
Oh,
yes, sorry. No, lots of people want a medium nukes now because older people are coming in, a lot of women who aren't as muscular, so they like these. So I thought, okay, I'll sell these little mediums. So I've been selling medium. Then I take another frame of honey and make sure that they've got food. So I give them a good amount of brood. And I often negotiate. What if I give you one more frame? Why don't you take a whole colony? All that kind of stuff. But there are people who want the medium. That's a big enough unit. Yep.
For the lower
mainland. And for hobby. The people who want the medium are hobbyists in their backyard. And then, as I say, sometimes I do more frames. I say, you want another frame? I can't remember what I charge for it, but I gave them the stronger. Yeah. So they were bringing in pollen this week, lots of pollen coming in, 3 or 4 different pollens coming in, so down by the, in Ladner there, and in February, the pollen starts to come in. Hey, yeah. Yeah. But I try not to go out and get on that bandwagon. I try to wait a little longer. So I just start with the sugar to make sure that nobody's going to go out of starvation. And they do very, very well managing this amount of space. It's like, it's exactly what Tom Seeley says, you know, those small spaces, you give them the right population and good health and they'll manage that small space and they won't eat all that food.
So do you use Italian bees or like dark bees like cardiolans?
Oh my God. Could you please answer that? My chauffeur will answer that. Such
well,
a simple
I'm
question.
I
have no clue what I have. At this stage of the game, we've got bees. Some are golden and some are dark. Yeah. No clue. It's the clueless beekeeper up here. But beautiful bees, right? Like the slides don't lie. Yeah. Okay, it's definitely time to stop. Thank you very much.